You may be seated. Our sermon this evening, we continue in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Pray with me. Lord, we thank You for the great help that You give us in Your Spirit and this wonderful testimony that You have given us in Your Word about what You are accomplishing on our behalf as we pray to You and as we seek Your face. So help us now as we apply this truth to respond correctly to it, that we would have a deeper affection towards You, that we would have a deeper sense of the repentance that's needed in our lives, and that You would be glorified as we pray to You and as we see Your gospel go forth and people putting their trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whenever we get truth, oftentimes it's a time for delighting in, but also there's also times when truth comes and it's not a time to delight. It's a burden. It's a heavy thing. As we look at this passage, I could read to you and say, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and we could say, yes, this is wonderful news. I know I have weakness, and I need the help of God. But as we go on, and it refers to God and the Holy Spirit as He who searches the hearts, and we say, yes, He searches the hearts, we might stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. This is a heavy truth. The Scripture gives us the account, and it says in John that Jesus didn't need a report about anybody. He actually knew exactly what was in a man when He met someone. Now, this truth and the idea of the Holy Spirit interceding for us, knowing the full will and the full mind of God, that's wonderful to us. But coming and looking and seeing the truth that He knows everything about us, for a righteous man, is a thing to rejoice in. Or someone whose motives are pure in a situation, it's a reason to rejoice. But we can look and we can see in our lives and know that we are not righteous men. Knowing in the circumstances of our lives we are not pure, and know that God is looking intently and sees every element of our hearts. He searches and He knows it. So for us, as we're looking at this idea of prayer, there's also this element in us, or this element to this truth, that's calling for us for a particular repentance. As we search our own hearts, as God would search our hearts, as we look at our motives, we look at the things we do, we look at the things that we say, and we look at who we are. Now, as we look at this, and so we're calling for both a great rejoicing and great repentance, as we're considering this truth of God answering us, working with us, but also analyzing our hearts. Now, our first step is with groaning too deep, or with groaning too deep for words. In Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words. Now, what is that place? A place of groaning too deep for words. Have you felt yourself or known yourself to be in that place of despair? That place where you feel as if you're undone? King David found himself there a number of times. In Psalm 119:81, he says, "My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word." What's it mean for a soul to languish? He's saying, "My soul is dried up. I'm being undone. My soul itself is being undone. I am feeling lost. I feel as if my very vitality is drying up and shriveling away. My soul could blow away like so much dried up grass." In Psalm 143, "Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me." In Psalm 119:82, "Moving from the heart, my eyes fail with longing for your word." So this idea of our very hearts and our very souls being dried up and being undone, to where the Holy Spirit actually has to come in and intercede in us and work with us to cry out to God with groanings too deep. One way to translate this is even to be uttered. We saw that idea this morning in 1 Samuel 1:13, where Hannah was in despair. 1 Samuel 1:13, "As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard, so Eli thought she was drunk." So what is it to be in this place, to feel as if you are completely or utterly undone? This is actually a place that if it's not a sin that you are still in, it's a beautiful place. Now, if you're in your sin and you feel this way, if you're refusing to turn and you feel this way, you're on the edge of death. You are on the edge of being removed out of this life. But if you're in the place where you have been brought through your sin and have been brought to a true repentance, as we saw in 1 Kings, where you're repenting with all your heart and all your soul, and you're crying out to God, you're actually in a good place there. Now, one of the beautiful things that happens when we come to the end of ourself is we get moved to the place to pray in accordance with God's will, where we finally say, "I don't have this figured out. I don't even know how to pray," as we looked at this morning. But we come to the place where we are kneeling with Christ in His sorrows, and we actually say, possibly for the first time in these circumstances, "Your will be done. Your will be done. Not as I desire, but your will be done." So the work of the Spirit and this groaning, it's this plea that accompanies our praying. That we still speak, that we still pray, we still seek Him. But it's with this work that's greater than we can accomplish, this groaning that is too deep for utterance. This brings us to our next step. Take comfort that the Spirit knows, or take comfort that the Spirit knows everything. Romans 8:27, "And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Now this is a beautiful idea to be working with the one who has the full and the complete understanding. We could even say it this way: He knows the eternal order of things. Isn't that great to think about? The one who works with you, the one who lives in you, knows the eternal order of things. So when we would find ourselves lost and not knowing how to pray, when we find ourselves in a place of despair, as we're dealing with our own sin and we're dealing with other people's sin, and there doesn't seem to be an answer, there doesn't seem to be a way out, there's nothing that we can accomplish, There is the Holy Ghost, who meets with you, who works with you, and prays in accordance with the order of all things from the beginning to the end. He has that full and that complete understanding. As we would work, and there's oftentimes we want to know what to do in situations. We want to know how to respond. But do you understand that you can't? You can't know everything. You can't always know how to respond. One of my grandfather Amos's favorite lines, when he would ask someone a question, he wanted a quick answer when he asked a question. He didn't want a story, and he was famous for saying, "I asked you if the light switch worked. I didn't ask how you wired the house." With us, we can't understand how God has wired the house, but he's told us that the light switch works. He's told us specifically what to do. And in our circumstances, we know that we're to love him. We know that we're to seek him. We know that we are to pray to him. We know that we are to obey him, no matter what that looks like and what he is giving us. So this, in one hand, is a comfort that the Spirit knows everything. Now this brings us to our next step. And remember that you are known. Remember that you are known. Romans 8:27. "And he who searches the hearts knows." He knows. He searches your hearts and understands you. Now for the, and we'll just put this as clear as we can, for the hypocrite whose words are his religion, where he speaks a good game or he puts on a good show for people, this is terrifying news that God searches the heart. It's a dreadful place. It's a place of fear. Maybe you've been in a situation where you have been found out, where all of a sudden it's been displayed to you. What you thought was a secret is no secret at all. And there's no room for excuses. There is no excuse. You are uncovered. You are undone. We live in that place of uncovered. We live in that place of undone. It's in the book of Hebrews. It might be 4:12, where it talks about the Word of God being living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then it goes on to say that we are all naked and bare and exposed to the one with whom we have to do. There is no covering the sin. There is no hiding our hearts. No matter how good we can make ourselves look when we come into the assembly, God who judges the heart sees all. So again, for the hypocrite, for the one whose religion is his tongue or the things that he says, this is a dreadful place that calls for us to repent. Now, in the circumstances of our lives, where as near as we can tell, we are walking in accordance with God's word and in accordance with his purpose, that we are living a life of repentance, this is a place of rejoicing. That he looks and he sees, he knows that you have repented. Now that repentance, you know, it has to look like the real thing, where we have thrown off everything, every element of that sin in that area. That we have thrown it away, as he has thrown it as far as east is from the west. We've done the same thing. We haven't clung to any part of that sin anymore, that we have thrown away. We have left no opportunity for the flesh to return to it. Now, we also have this beautiful truth in this. Matthew 6:8 explains, "He knows what we have need of before we even ask." And it's as if he sits and he waits for us to ask. He waits for us to come, or he waits for us to be undone. I've told this story before when the children were very small, specifically Nathaniel, and we would go for a walk, and I would tell Nathaniel, I'd say, stay close to me. Stay close. I want you to keep where I can see you and keep where I can reach you if I have to. And I'd give him that warning. And if he didn't stay close, if he didn't keep where I could get hands on him quick, I would just slip behind a tree or just over a little hill, and I would sit and I'd watch him. And I'd wait till he noticed that he was alone, that I wasn't there anymore. And I would wait for that moment where he called out like he really believed he needed me. And then I would go. With us and our sins and our crimes, we act like we don't need him. Like we don't need to be near to him. And that's when he slips away. Or that's when he hides himself from your supplication. And he waits for you to come to that place where you know that you need him. And he waits for you to cry out to him like you really do need him. Like you really know that he holds you together. Like you really understand that he gives you everything that you need. So that is our place where we know that we are completely known. This brings us to our next step. Be encouraged because the Holy Spirit will be active when you are. Be encouraged because the Holy Spirit will be active when you are. Verse 27 again. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And this is that beautiful idea that he does work. And it's a great idea that he doesn't slumber, neither does he sleep. We sang about that this evening. There's not a time. There will be times where we don't pray. There are times when we don't work. There's times where we have to go to sleep. He never does. He's the one who watches Israel. He's the one that watches over you and will work for you continuously. Now, this is a reason to rejoice and to find comfort, but also consider the great concern that he's already demonstrated for you in what he has done in Christ. He's already shown that he is willing to do anything to save you. He's willing to do anything to rescue you, anything to protect you for all eternity. And this has also been, what he has done in Christ, is also his demonstration of his great affection for you. So you are perfectly loved. He shows a perfect concern for you. He never sleeps, and he never takes his eye off you or his hand off of you. And he says, pray to me. Pray to me, and know that I give you my Spirit as you are praying to me. Now, there's our next step, our tenth step. And this is, be doubly encouraged, because the Holy Spirit acts according to the will of God. And this is that last line in 8:27. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, why is this good news that it's according to the will of God? One reason is that no one stops God's hand. No one. What he has chosen to do, he will accomplish. We are told in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So, our comfort in his affection, our comfort in his concern, our comfort in his strength is in this fullness and the completeness of his perfect will being accomplished. We may feel broken, we may feel run down, we may feel undone, we may be at the end of our rope, and that's actually not a bad place to be when you're relying on Christ. Because this is when he shows up in his fullness, in his power, and in his glory to meet with you specifically how you need. So, we look at His goodness and His power, His great affection. And we see that He is doing a work. What you face is no accident. Your fear, your hurts, your concern, not a surprise to Him. In fact, it is His great purpose for conforming you to the image of God, which will be your good. Which is for your perfection. Which is for both your glory and His glory. But this glory comes, and this work comes, and this completion comes when we're trusting Him. Now, this looks like a full repentance from our sin. It's what trust looks like. It looks like seeking forgiveness. It looks like throwing off the old man. It looks like putting on the new man. It looks like praying and seeking His face, praying for one another, and turning to Him. And in those places, that's where the Holy Spirit meets with us, where He does His work when we see ourselves undone. So this call is for you, again, to participate with the Holy Spirit in your praying, and to know with confidence God will fulfill His good works when you turn from your sins. Pray with me. God, You have done good and amazing things, and we know that You will continue to do good and amazing things. Please work in us and do a great work. Bring us each to the end of ourselves, that we would pray to You with diligence and with conviction, with a sense of urgency. And Father, meet us with Your Spirit, that Your will be accomplished in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A final song.